further away from the moment for which all of us are living tonight. And tonight we are 2 years nearer, and I feel that the time is very, very short. And you know, when Jesus Christ called Judas to him in that last moment, he said, "What thou doest, do quickly." Hallelujah. "Whatsoever you are going to do," he said to him, "you do it quickly." God is saying to us tonight that whatsoever we are going to do with Jesus, whatsoever we are going to do with our lives, we had better do it quickly. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a time to sow, and there is a time to reap. There's a time to plant, and there's a time to root up the things that you so carefully planted. Yeah. Glory to God. Yes. There's a time to sing and dance. There's a time to listen to the message. Hallelujah. Yes. And under the sun, there is a time for everything. Yes. There's a time to be born. Yes. And the very person that was born, and we took so much care of him when he was born, there's a time to die. Amen. And I want you to consider about these different times which God has in his hand tonight. Let us turn our Bibles around to Ecclesiastes. And we just pray that God might give the message. You know, some of us like to hear man talk. That's a whole problem. I don't like it. I don't like to talk. If you spent all your time, today you work hard, you made an effort to come here tonight, it was not even your meeting night, yet you made an effort to come tonight because I beg you to come here. And if you came here to hear a man, what a disappointment it would be. Because what can man do for you? You know what man can do for you? I cannot make you better than myself, and I'm no good. So I don't know what kind of person you would be if you were my disciple. Hear me? Don't follow me. For I don't want to be like I am. I want to be like Jesus. And I will never be satisfied until I be like Jesus. And if you have elders, and if you have pastors, they are supposed to be examples to the flock. But you must not try to be like the pastors or the elders. Right. You must try to be like Jesus. Amen. For there is no way that you're going to be better than the pastor if you are aiming to be like the pastor. You never know that. If you take up a gun and aim at the mark, it's going to drop below the mark. You have to aim above the mark to hit the mark. Hallelujah. And so I am saying that it is not good to love to follow men. And I don't know why I'm talking like this. So if you think I heard any news, you are thinking wrongly. My baggage is on the platform. I just came into the service here. My baggage is on the platform. I wasn't in touch, amen, with anybody. But I believe in prophecy. Believe in prophecy. I believe that the only thing that is going to lift this church out of the rut that we are in. Because don't you think the church is in a rut? You just lift up your eyes and look around. You just read in your newspaper what's going on in churches. And you will know, as a matter of fact, the people in California know more about churches in Europe than anybody else. You just read your newspapers and you'll know what's going on. And, you know, I feel that the only thing that is going to take the church out of the rut that we are in is the ministry of the prophet. A ministry that can say, thus set the Lord. Amen. Because if you think that the theological colleges are going to turn out ministers and help you, you are in bad shape. If you think so. Because theology has gone from bad to worse. Your only hope is for God to call some little people who never went to the college, who never learned the theological knowledge. Amen. Who heard from Jesus. Some of them are carpenters like Jesus was. Amen. Some of them are secretaries. That has nothing to do with Bible. And God take them and bring them. Some of you sitting down there. You are. You hear me? Young people, did you hear me? That some of you sitting down there are appointed of God to carry the message. And I'm telling you, keep away from the theological seminaries. Was somebody here planning to go? You get out of that nonsense, please. Don't go. Pack up your bag and go into a corner and find Jesus. You hear me? You're not going to learn anything but a type of mixture. A poisonous concoction that they call doctrine that turns your head and gives you a knowledge that is contrary to the knowledge of God. Loose! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I tell you, some spirit just got a jerk here. Just praise the Lord for it. Hallelujah. You shall not go to the theological seminaries, or let us call it by a better name, the Bible school. Don't go to the Bible schools. The colleges of our time are rotten. Few people go to the colleges and preserve their spiritual life. Amen. To tell you not to go to college, because I don't get that from heaven yet. But I was on a campus. We had a convention on a campus a couple weeks ago, and I was shocked beyond measure. You know, the young people were let loose in a co-ed college. You hear me? At 2 o'clock at night. You know, Christians love to keep late hours. Well, we were keeping late hours because we had righteous business. At 2 o'clock at night, the girls and the boys were having a time on the campus. No control. Co-ed. They live in the same quarters. They go to the same restrooms. This is what happens to some of our children that we work hard and pay to send them to college to get them spoiled and destroyed. I'm not saying every college is like that, but quite a few. And this college was supposed to be a Christian college. It was a church college where we were keeping our convention. Hallelujah. Chapter 12. Remember now, thy Creator, in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or even the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cisterns, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Praise be to God. The Word of God has three dimensions. Every word that you read in your Bible has three dimensions. The Word of God has three dimensions. The first word you get is the natural word. The second word you get, it's a spiritual word. Same word. The same word there is the same word here, but it's translated in spiritual. And then the meaning, the result, the intention of God, why He gave you the word, is called the fullness of that word. So we see then, when we read a word like this, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. We are talking about a word that God gives you today that's going to last you until you get to the grave. And it's going to last you beyond the grave. Brethren, get rid of every sin in your life now. Amen. I wonder if they heard me. I didn't come here to preach to you about sin. But this is what God wants to tell you. There are secret sins in man. Every one of us has a besetting sin. A sin that troubled us. It troubled our grandfather. It troubled our grandmother. It troubled our people, our family, our nation. You hear me? There are spirits who preside over sin. They are the king of sin. You have a lust spirit that works in Oakland, and he works overtime. Amen. He's got so many customers that he can't even rest. And this spirit worked on your grandfather, and he worked on your grandmother, and he drive them to lust, and he drive them to divorce, and he drive them to destruction. That spirit is working on people sitting here tonight, said the Lord God Almighty. You hear me? Now, God said, if you don't get rid of that spirit, when you get old, he's going to take you and destroy you. Because it is not the old man that destroys the power of Satan. It is the young man. Hear me? The longer you submit to a spirit, the more the spirit has power over you. Haggai. Turn your Bibles with me. Turn to turn to Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. We read 15 and 16. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Hear that, brethren. Are you there? Romans 6, verse 15 and 16. The question is asked, because you don't have a watchman that comes and peeps through your window at night, because you don't have pastors out on the street following you and watching you wherever you go to see who is sinning from who not sinning, because you don't have people to report the secret things that are in your eye, shall we sin because we're under grace? And when we come, we dance with everybody and praise God. Hallelujah. Shall we not know that there is a living God that is standing right in the room with us while we are sinning? Shall we not understand the content of God and heaven, that God has millions of angels watching you? Don't you understand that you have guardian angels? You know it? I'm going to read it for you, but let me finish reading Romans. Romans said in the 16th verse, know ye not that to whomsoever you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Don't you know that sin kills? Let me tell you how sin goes. The first time that you are going to sin, after you have been sanctified by Jesus Christ, you tremble. You tremble. But you went through with it. The second time it was a little easier. The third time you start to reason with yourself, God will forgive me. This is not the unpardonable sin. Little do you know that the unpardonable sin is any sin that you do until you drive the Holy Ghost away from you. That's the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is not a special thing. It is the driving away of the Holy Ghost. It's a thing that you commit little by little by little. The old sin of the old man is a terrible sinner. When you find an old man doing sin, it's bad, cankered sin. Don't you understand? I am saying, brethren, that everybody has a besetting sin. That you were born under the power of a devil. All of us. The devils that rule down in Jamaica are not the same devils that rule up here. The devils that rule Miami are not the same devils that rule Oakland. Amen. And the devils that rule here, they have been at it for a long time. They have been training people and bringing up people under their rulership. So much so that it becomes normal to you. You hear me? Do you have the discerning of spirits in this church? Hallelujah. Do you have the discerning of spirits? Well, you better get it. You better go to God and pray to God and ask God to revive the gifts of God within His people, so that we can discern spirits, so that we can help one another. We are not like those who try people and put them out of church when we find them in sin. We are like those who love them and keep close to them and try to work with them and try to help them to get out of sin. For we know that the wages of sin is death. Do you know why when you sin for the third time, it's easier than when you sin the first time? Do you know why? Because you begin to die. Death, death, death begin to set in. And the life that you have that was abhorring sin, that made sin exceedingly sinful, the life is fading away. Amen. Hallelujah. Why is it I'm not getting the response? Am I hurting you? Amen. Listen, brethren. God doesn't send a man from Florida to preach to you about sin because he wants to kill you. It's because he loves you. Amen. There are things that are going to happen around here. There are things that are going to happen around here. That is, only the people who are hearing God's voice will be delivered and will be saved. If something starts happening right here now, and it takes the voice of God in your heart, not in the elders. Elders can't help you. When you are in deep trouble, sudden destruction, you want to hear the voice of God telling you to move to the right or move to the left. Amen? If you are clogged up and beset by sin, how are you going to hear God? When the time comes, God is saying to his people, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. And I don't think God is talking about natural youth. He's talking about spiritual youth. He's talking when the fire of God is in you. Amen. Is talking that when you start dancing in the spirit, you must be saying, Jesus cleanse me, Jesus cleanse me, Jesus cleanse me, Jesus cleanse me. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's a true dance. Yeah. You hear me? Yeah. You hear me? Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you how the spirit teach me. I'm telling you why I dance and jump over the benches sometimes. Because I'm saying, Jesus Christ bless this church. Jesus Christ bless this church. Jesus Christ bless this church. And the Spirit of God begin to lift me. I am saying, Jesus cleanse this vessel. Make it worthy. Make it worthy. And God is making it worthy. Hallelujah. Remember now. I don't know why I didn't bring a message here for you. Hear me? I didn't bring a message here for you. I got a sealed envelope to deliver to you at a moment's notice. And when I came in and the envelope was opened in the spirit, I heard Ecclesiastes 12. I haven't read the thing for a year, I don't think. I don't think I read Ecclesiastes 12 for the past year. I think that I am prophesying to you. You can't blame me if I think so. But I don't know where it is coming from. I'm hearing it to give you. And I'm giving you as I get it. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, there are those here tonight to be loosed. Those to come here tonight and not to leave through that door until you feel the freedom of God break forth in your souls. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. God is saying that tonight is a night of deliverance. Hallelujah! Tonight is a night when he's calling to someone and to me, I'm sure, to come and be delivered and set free and never to leave tonight until God Almighty set you free. We go back to Ecclesiastes. We read the word on the natural and we interpret it on the spiritual.
because there's a work that God must do in you before very long. It's getting late. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Next thing he said, it said, there is a day coming. You must remember your Creator now, because there is an evil day that is coming. And now the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Have you ever talked to an old man? You ever seen an old man out the street drinking or going on bad, and you ever talked to him? I remember one night the police called us to pick up a man on the beach. The cop said that this man goes to prison so often for drunkenness that the judge told him that if he comes back, he's going to throw the book at him and give him the maximum sentence. But and he, as a policeman, he does not want to take the man in. If we as Christians would take the man to prevent him taking the man in, we prayed and the Lord said, yes, go for the man. We went for him. The man didn't know where he was. We prayed with him. He accepted Jesus Christ, and he was still unconscious, although we didn't know he was talking to us, but he was unconscious. All of a sudden he wake up and look around and said, where am I? He was in somebody's dining room and a lot of people around him looking at him, and he said, where am I? So we told him where he is and what happened to him, and he began to tell us his story. He said when he was 12 years of age, he went to a church fair where the Catholic Church was raising money at a fair. And he said the priest gave him a drink, and he said he never stopped since. He said he hardly ever spent a sober moment since 12 years of age, and the man was near on to 60. And he was drinking his life out, cheating to get a drink, doing everything to get a drink. And that's his own, the only life he knew. Well, he accepted Jesus, and we found out that he was a very efficient plumber. And I had at the same time a plumbing job doing, and I am not a plumber. So I took this efficient plumber and he showed me exactly how to do it, and he did the job, and I thought, what a beautiful man this is. Amen. But Friday evening came and the man asked me for his pay, and I wanted to find some excuse not to pay him, because I felt that if he gets the money, he's going to taste a little something. But there was no way that I could keep away from giving him his money, for it was his money and he worked for it. So I had to pay him. That night he disappeared. He got himself drunk and was taken by the police. The next call we got from the cops was that he had been taken to jail. Monday morning he was tried, and the judge threw the book at him, gave him the maximum sentence for to be in prison to get him off of drunkenness. A couple weeks after that, we got a call from the police that he was dead. Hallelujah. He was dead. He suffered from withdrawal. Remember, when he accepted Jesus Christ for 2 weeks, he didn't suffer any withdrawal, because he was with us night and day and he couldn't have a drink. But he suffered from withdrawal in the prison, and he died. Hallelujah. But thank God, he left a testimony that he knew Jesus. Amen. I am saying this, brethren, to say this, that although the man accepted Jesus at 60 years of age, he was too much of a sinner. He was too much of an alcoholic to repair the damage that had been done to his soul and body. And the most Jesus could do for him was to take him home. Hallelujah. I'm saying, brethren, remember now your Creator. All that is wrong with you, I'm begging you to go to God and to face it squarely and say, Lord God, I see that so and so is wrong with me. I want you to fix me. Yeah. Hallelujah. If it's new parts you want, like a motor car, go to God and say, you are the repairer, put in the new parts. But I do not want the evil to remain in this body.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Do you know, brethren, I am not going to deceive you. I am preaching the gospel for 33 years, and I'm not going to deceive you. Do you know that every sin that you commit, that you cannot help yourself from committing it, you hate it yet you do it, that it is a devil that you have? You say, but brother, can I as a Christian have Jesus Christ and have devil at the same time? Come on now. How can I have Jesus and at the same time have a devil? Is your theology sort of bad, brother says? Don't you think your theology is bad? Huh? How am I, a Christian, with the blood of Jesus, baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues and shouting hallelujah, have a devil at the same time I have Jesus? I'm going to show you how. Hallelujah. You are spirit, soul, and body. You have the Holy Ghost in your spirit. Holy Ghost in your spirit. This area is the battle zone. Did you hear it? Battle zone. That area is like between Israel and Lebanon. Always fighting. Amen. The mind of man. God says, mind of Christ. Didn't he say so? He said you should have the mind of Christ. But tell me, do you have the mind of Christ? Oh no, come on, forgive me. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. But I want to tell you that you don't. I mean, it is just as simple as that. You don't have the mind of Christ. You can't get it. You want it. And you will get it. But you better hold on and keep on battling, because you don't have the mind of Christ and you want the mind of Christ, and God's will is that you should have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Tell me the truth. Do you think anything is wrong with your emotions? Your emotional life. You get mad sometimes? So Jesus not in your emotions, and he hasn't taken them over yet completely, huh? There's still a fight going on for your emotions, huh? Huh? Don't we use our emotions to do some things that we didn't want to talk in church? Huh? We are human beings, see? And the problem is that we are going to have to look at these areas. Your will. Is it the will of the Father? Is your will? Could you say that my will is thy will, O God, in all things? Huh? No, we can't say it. It's not completely done yet. Huh?
Could you say that your desires, all your desires, are God's desires? Is there absolute purity in your desires? I'm going to tell you a secret. You see this battle zone here? See this battle zone here? I'm going to write something here. Huh? Can you read that for me? What it says? Throne of God. Did you know that your soul is the throne of God? Are you there? You're still in the service here with me? Huh? Did you know that your soul is the throne of God? Did you know that your mind, your emotions, your will, your desire, same emotions that you're using to get mad with? Huh? The same mind that you're using to think your own thoughts and do your own thing. Do you know that that mind is God's throne? Okay, since you didn't know, I'm going to read it for you. Will you be satisfied if I read it for you? Since you are around at Ecclesiastes, then turn to Jeremiah and turn to the 31 chapter. Chapter 31. And let us look at the 31st, the 2nd, 33rd verses. And let me tell you, that is the promise of God for you. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, said the Lord. I'm not going to make that old time covenant, said God, but I'm going to make a new covenant with the people of God. Verse 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Remember, we talk about the natural world being turned into the spiritual world. So when I say Israel, what am I talking about? The church. Amen. So please don't think I'm talking about Israel down yonder there. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, meaning in their souls, and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. But you said, brother says, huh, that sounds to me like Old Testament. What is Old Testament? Old Testament is New Testament in the present. Old Testament in the past, New Testament in the present. In other words, the Old Testament has to be translated into Jesus Christ. So that where we see Israel here, it is talking about the Israel of God, which is the church. Let's turn to Hebrews 7 and see if probably we will find the same scripture translated by Brother Paul. Huh? You think we might be able to find it translated by Brother Paul. Hebrews 8 and 7. Hebrews 8, 7 going down. Maybe we can run down to 10. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Hallelujah. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Do you notice that Paul is quoting Jeremiah? Huh? Paul is quoting Jeremiah. Are you there? Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. For this is the covenant, the new covenant, that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put thee, Lord, dear one, mine. Everybody say that in the air. Mine, my God. So God is not leaving any mystery there. He is putting the law of God in your mind. Now look at your own minds and consider what you've been thinking from morning. Have you been dwelling on the law of God in your mind, and write them on their hearts? And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now, some people find a little difficulty with theological terminology, like heart, you know. Praise God. The brother tell the sister that he loves her with all his heart. Amen? And she feels very good about it. Next thing, she's looking for a wedding. Amen? That's a natural. Amen? But when he tells her that he loves her with all his heart, did she consider that is the little pump that he has here that he's loving her with? Or is it something bigger than that? His mind gets so involved that he falls into a thing they call false love. You can't think of anything in your mind, that you can't think of anything else but the loved one. Dying for work or school to be over, to get on the telephone to call, hello, how are you? Amen? And sit down on the phone and talk for 1 hour. Nobody else can get in a call. Sometimes when I call and I can't get through, time can't get through, call another 15 minutes, can't get through, I said, yes, some teenagers over there making love. Amen. And understand the natural, understand the beauty and the power of the spiritual. See, God is talking about planting his law in your heart. And we say, God, we want you to plant your law in our hearts, but we don't know what our hearts is. Amen. I'm going to tell you what your heart is. Amen. I say to myself, I'm going to take up this book. So far, it's only a thought in my mind. But when I look at the book, I decide that I want it. And my emotions come into it. I have an emotional feeling towards the book. Does that sound like falling in love? Huh? Falling in love with the book. Huh? And so I said, man, I just love this book. And then something said to me, I must have it. I must have it. I want it to be mine. And I start to get in uptight over the book. So that my mind is in it now. And my emotions in it. And my will says, I am going to have it at all costs. So I am mind, emotions, will, and I desire it with all my heart. Does that sound like falling in love? Yes. That's what your heart is. When your whole being centralized upon one point, that's your heart. Your whole life is going to revolve around that. Just like the use of the natural heart that pumps life to the rest of the body, so it is your spiritual heart is the environment of your whole soul. Come back again. I will put my laws into their minds. And after I put it in their mind, I'm going to take an iron pen and write it on their hearts. Oh, yes, Lord. And then, when the law of God is written on your hearts, then I will be to them a God, and they shall be my sons. Look here, children. You want to be a son of God? Don't worry about the sin that bothers you. I'm going to tell you how to be a son of God and to overcome every sin. I believe in preaching to people, but I don't believe in telling you to do something that I don't tell you how to do it. If I tell you that it is impossible for every one of you here to be like Jesus Christ, the Son of God, pure, holy, walking in love, walking in righteousness, if I tell you that, then I'm going to tell you how to be that way. Believe me. Now, how then am I going to be like Jesus? How am I going to get this law written in my heart? Okay, let's start at base one. Amen. I go downtown Oakland. I see the show windows, the shop windows. Beautiful things. The way they hang them up is just to attract you. You say, oh, I wanted a dress like that. I wanted a suit just like that. Amen, I wanted this and I wanted that. And somebody bring a car and you say, boy, that's the car I want. And you decide to work for it. Desires. Somebody is triggering your desires by the advertisement. Ha-ha. It is a word that comes to you as your eyes behold, your heart desire, your mind think about it, your eyes behold it, your heart desire it. Isn't that the way of life? Amen. That's the way of life. And so because that's the way of life, that's the way God's going to use to bring you into His life. Amen. So, turn your Bibles with me. Back around to Matthew. Praise God. Let's take John first. John's Gospel. We take John chapter 7. And we look at the 17th verse. And we talk about desire. If any man, I'm going to translate this verse for you from the Greek so that you might get it even plainer than it is in the King James Version. If any person, any human being desires to do the will of God, God will take it as His responsibility to make you know what His doctrines are, whether a doctrine is of God or whether it is not of God. What a beautiful promise. All you need is some old-time desire. You know, I used to daydream about God. You ever daydream about God? Do you know that daydreaming about God is called meditation? Meditate on His word day and night. He shall be, help me, like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. You see, some people believe that when you talk about studying the Bible, you have to go and you have to take a chapter and you have to go up and down through it and through it and through it. No.
You can sit down and begin to think about God. You can start thinking, what I would like to be. Amen. I would just like to be like Jesus. I would like to walk down the street, and when the sick come to me, I just lay hands on them and they recover. I would like to be in contact with God, so that I could talk to God like how I talk to the pastor. I talk to the brethren. We talk to one another. I would like to be in touch with God. And then you find something starts happening to you. You know what happened? The Spirit of God draw near you while you are there meditating on the things of God. And He begin to lead your thoughts. You hear me? The Spirit of God begin to lead your thoughts, and next thing you find yourself, you have a desire to be this and to be that and to be like Jesus, and God begin to lead your thoughts in that way. You know, I always sit down for hours and hours and hours just meditating on things of God like that. I take a Bible story and I imagine that I am there. And I imagine that I see what's going on. And I ask God, but why did so and so happen? And in my meditation, God would come back and answer me. And I'm there for hours and hours and hours just meditating. You ever hear people say that they pray for hours and hours? Anytime you pray for 2 hours, you run out of prayer. I want to know what you pray when you kneel down for 2 hours or for even an hour. What you pray. It's either that you keep on repeating one thing as if God is deaf, or you run out of things to say. Amen. I used to pray for 2 and 3 hours, but I had a long list. At the time I was pastor in a church, in 4 churches as a matter of fact. And I had a long list of people that I'm praying for. Amen. And that was an entirely different sort of prayer. But then there is a prayer that calls a supplication prayer. Intercession. You see? And when God bring you into the place where you become an intercessor, then you will kneel down and pray for 2-3 hours interceding for people and getting back feedback from the prayers. When you pray, God begin to give you certain feelings about what the people are going through. Amen. But that's a different kind of prayer. So you have intercessory prayer. You have the ordinary prayer where you go to God and you pray and you talk with God. And then you have another type of prayer that we call meditation prayer, where you meditate upon the word of God. And this God said, meditate day and night. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. But God says that He will bring to pass your desires, whatever they are, in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Let's accept it. Let's just all say in our hearts, I accept this now, Jesus, that You will give me the desires of my heart in Christ Jesus. Stop desiring Cadillacs. Stop desiring this and that and the other. Stop using spiritual energy to ask God to make you rich. And just start, use up some energy to ask God for the things you need, please. The things you need in the spirit, please. For behold, said God, the day is coming and right down upon us when we are going to need spiritual power more than anything else on earth. Let's start asking God for this thing that is absolutely necessary for our survival. Dear God, I promised that I'd come for a week. Amen.
I can't keep my promise yet, but it's going to come to pass. Because if I desire it and you desire it, then Sister Betty, I'm going to be here for a week. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 For God said, whatsoever we desire, it shall be done. Hallelujah. Chakuna Mahandai. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to get this word firm inside. He said he'll write it in your mind first, and then it sinks down, and you get emotional over it, brother. And it's getting into you. It's getting to be a part of you. And it's getting to make you dance. A word of God ever got into your emotion and you dance over it? Lord, help us. When I got saved, brethren, I was a man, a sinner. Well, bad one. You know, really rough sinner. And I was going to do some killing because I couldn't help myself. I said, rather than kill people, let me just kill myself and finish with the whole thing. And so I picked the gun up to kill myself. Jesus Christ came in and Jesus stopped me. And see here, when Jesus got into me, Jesus got into me, you know. I mean, he got right inside of me, and he was not just into my, say, spirit or my soul. He was in my legs. And my feet start going like this. And I start going like this, round the room. And listen, Virgin, I couldn't come down hard on the floor. Because if those men heard me, they would say that I'm gone mad. And they would come in with all the bull ropes and tie me up. For we are out there in this, in this experimental station out in the bushes. And it's all men. And they would come and tie me up because they think that I was already half mad. And if I start to jump and shout inside that room, they would tie me. So when the power of God gets in me, you know, I just was going around the room like this, going around the room like this. And I had to do it.
God made the emotions. Every emotional feeling that you have is God made. God made it in order that he might get into it. God made your emotions in order that he might get into your emotions. He said he wants to walk in you and he wants to talk to you. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Oh yes. He said after he said, I'm going to walk in them and I'm going to talk in them. Oh, I didn't think he was that true. But that's what he said. That he wants to walk in you. Baby God, it's time that you feel God walking in you.
Yes.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
I remember when the devil used to walk in me, you know. When the devil got me, he moved right through here. When he walked through my head, I was calm and cool. So, I get calm. And I'm looking up at this man like this. And the man looking at me. He doesn't know what he's up. But I'm calm because I'm going to get him. I'm going to finish him. Right, I have no breath. I'm gone. But there's that take me from me. I feel it move right through my head. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. When God clean out the passage, you understand? I felt God walking through my head.
The man looking at me, he doesn't know what he's up. But I'm calm because I'm going to get him. I'm going to finish him. Right, I have no breath. I'm gone. But there's that take me from me that I feel it move right through my head. Thank you, Jesus. When God cleansed the passing way.
Thank you, Lord. When God clean out the passage, You understand? I felt God walking through my head, just like the devil used to walk. And when God walked through, I would see people's business away down yonder and start to preach to them. Because we were sinners, we were taken away by all these diverse lusts and diverse devils. Why do we think that it's only the devil that can walk and talk to people? Don't you see it's a shame, Christian, that the devil can walk and talk to people? That the devil had us out there walking and talking to us. And we who have turned to God are not producing the same quality of godliness according to the quality of devilry that we used to produce. If we were bad for the devil, we better be good for God. The same measure, the same degree, and let it be more, for God has a way of expanding the vessel. Amen. God expands the vessel, and in this hour, God is going to have some giants to tackle the devils that are coming forth in this land. Hallelujah. So, I say, brethren, that if you desire God, have a capacity to desire God that is unlimited. You hear me? Have a capacity to desire God that is unlimited. You don't have any extent to which you believe God can work in you. God can work in you like Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ say it will be more than Jesus Christ. For he is going to his Father and he's leaving you here with all the bad men. And all the bad devils, brother. And God says he's going to equip an army that will be more powerful than any devil that ever walked this earth. Yeah. Hallelujah. Who do you think he's talking about? God is depending on you. And I want us to begin to give ourselves to God. Talk to God. When you pray, don't pray foolishness. Oh God, bless me. Help me, Lord. Make me good, God. I don't want all that kind of prayer. I want you to say, Jesus Christ, I am giving you my emotions. I want you to break through my emotions and make me like Jesus emotional. Lord God, I want my mind to be like the mind of Christ. Loose! You got to have to believe it to get it. If you don't believe it, it won't happen. Do you know that on many occasions you have had the mind of Christ? Huh? Do you know that on many occasions you have had the mind of Christ? You better believe it. That the mind of Christ comes to you sometimes. Amen. So, believe it now. You can have the mind of Christ. You can not only have it, but you can hold it. You can retain it. You can hold on to it. You can practice it. Having the mind of Christ. Amen. You can have the emotions of God. You can have God walking and talking through you. You can have Jesus Christ as King. Amen. Turn to Matthew 5. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God says it again. You don't have to do anything but get hungry. All God wants you to do is to be hungry. Isn't that a blessing, brother man? All we need to do is a good dose of hunger. When you pray, God, I don't think I'm hungry enough. Lord God, give me appetite. Oh God, give me appetite. I want appetite for God. I want to have a soul that is never satisfied. I want to be, Lord God, a dissatisfied Christian. Oh yes. Your capacity for God must be unlimited. There must be no time when you feel in your life that you have had enough of God. God said in His Word that He will supply your hunger if you hunger. So all God is requiring for us is to have desire, to have hunger. And He says He will walk in you and He will talk in you. God is going to supply the hunger of the hungry soul. Praise be to God. Then He comes along in verse 48. And He says, be ye therefore perfect. Did you ever hear people go about boasting that they are not perfect? I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. Huh? You ever heard that one? Yes. I'm not perfect. Stop it. Stop it. Stop praying. Say, God, You say that I can be perfect. So You make me perfect. You see, let me tell you something. A very peculiar, blessed word here. That faith is a creative substance. That faith will create the thing that is not and make it be. Let me get you. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And verse 3. Verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds, that means the big world, all the worlds, the heavens, the stars, the sun, the moon. See, you might understand. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We are saying that the things that we can see were made by the things that we cannot see. So when you want something from God, you ask God for it, but you have to wait until God make it. Did you hear me? Oh yes. Alright, a girl here is asking God for a husband. You're asking secretly. Well, God is going to talk to you openly. Okay? Lord God, give me a husband. I want a husband that is kind and loving, that love the Lord with all his heart, that is going to serve God. And God looked around Oakland and He didn't find the man you were asking for. So God says, all right. You even tell Him the color you want. That's how we are supposed to ask God, you know. Did you know that? Did you know that? When I ask God for my wife, I see her very color. Believe you me, don't ask God for anything you don't want. You ask God for what you want. If you are wrong, God will correct you. But a man that is wishy-washy and asking God for a whole heap of things, he's not going to get anything. I have told you before, and it's a joke, a standing joke that I tell many places, that I had a deacon in my church. And the deacon came to me and said, Elder, he said, I want to get married. I said, boy, I said, you need to be married. You're of age and you're a big man. You're supposed to really have a wife. He said, I said, but tell me, brother, so and so, who is the lucky woman? You know what happened? Let me tell you what happened. My eldest son, a little boy, came to me and said, "Dad, I had a vision." You better pay attention to the little children. You pay attention to them, please. You let them pray and let them exercise in God. If they want to come up here and give a message, you let them give it, Brother Mark.
With your sister.
You let them give their message if they want to come up here and give a message. If they want to sing, let them sing. If they want to play music, let them play. Let the children have a part in the service. My little ones used to lead the service and I sit down one side and watch them. Many a times it was really blessing just flowing. The child said, "Dad," he said, "I had a vision." He said, "I saw Brother so-and-so, who was the deacon. And I saw a sister come through the door, through the gate. And the brother, all of a sudden, took out a knife out of his pocket and just marked her with the knife." I said, "Yes, son." I said, "That is Brother Tomlinson's wife. He's going to find his wife." None of the six. None of the six, he told me. Next day, we were at home, and the child came running to me. He said, "Dad, see the girl there coming through the gate." Hallelujah. We didn't say anything. We turn around, we see she and the brother talking. The next thing we heard is that they wanted to get married. He didn't, he's the first he's seen her. We didn't say a word to him. Hallelujah. Amen. So then, I'm talking still to the person who is thinking of this situation with God. And I'm talking of it as an example to many more who have the same thing in their mind. Amen? You sit down. I would even tell you to sit down on a piece of paper. Set down the person you want on paper and carry it before God and say, "Lord, this is what I want." But God couldn't find the person you want. Amen? And so what God did is to call his angel and said, "Come here, angel." He said, "Go down there and make this person for me." He said, you look around Oakland and you find a person who will match this description and make him. Bring him to Jesus and work him over. Hey, God, work him over. And make him for my daughter. Yeah. Hallelujah. And God make him, break him, bring him. And present him. Do you know that if you pray and believe God, God will create what you ask for? And the only way God can create it is if you can wait. I have a sweet little girl who is in the congregation in one of these church groups, and she had a vision that she saw her husband, and the Lord told her who the husband should be. So she went to one of the mothers of the church and she said, "I don't know if this is right," she said. But she said, "I saw that young man as my husband. God told me that he's my husband." The mother of the church said, "Well, if it is God, you can wait. If it is God, you don't have to worry. Just don't say anything about it. Just let us keep the secret and just watch the situation." The brother came to me and he said, he said, "The Lord say, I must go with you on that journey you're going to India." I didn't hear from the Lord. that he must come with me. But he said, the Lord told him. I said, well, if the Lord provide your fare and the Lord make it possible, then come with me. The Lord provided the fare, Lord made it possible, he came with me. When we went to India, I said to him, have you ever thought of marriage? He said, no. He said, I never think of it. But that God just told me that I am going back home to marry to that little quiet girl you see over there. Now, come on now. He never got it when he was in America.
Amen.
He never heard it from anybody. But he told me. And so I said, I'm going to watch the situation. And when he went talking with the quiet girl, and she told him that God told her that he is her husband only after he asked her to marry.
Praise God.
And they live ever happily afterwards. The people of God need to desire God. We are desiring too much trash. Let us desire God. The devil is walking around and breaking up homes. The devil is breaking up people, trying to hurt Christians. I've never seen such an attack upon the church as I have seen now. It is time for the brethren to hold on to their wives and hold on to their husbands and make sure that they know how much you love them and how much you care for them. And don't allow Satan one opportunity to come between you and them. And it's time for the young people to be taught in church about marriage. We must not lose any of our young people. The young people must learn about marriage in church. The schools are teaching sex. The government is teaching sex. And what they know about sex is what the devil teach them. But it is our God that made sex. And we are not afraid to tell the children what God's will for them is. And we should. Praise God. Since the devil is telling them, we might as well give them the story right. Correct. Hallelujah. And so, brethren, we are talking about the soul. We are talking about desires. We are talking about asking God. We are talking about receiving. And I'm saying, brethren, that whatsoever you ask God, according to his will, you shall receive. You hear me? Remember. Come, let's get back to where we started. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. For there is an evil day coming when you will not have such a power and a strength to get rid of the devils that beset people's lives. Pardon me. You know something? Some of the devils that hurt us here tonight, we are not responsible for them. We never brought them into our lives. We got them from when we were children. Some devils, we call them familiar spirits.
Yeah.
They belong to families.
Yeah.
The devils say, the little one is born, he said, this one is mine. And they belong to families. And some of the traits, brother, some of the conditions, the problems that families have, they are not natural problems. There are devils being handed down from grandfather, coming down to grandchild and taking the children one by one. But God gives us a promise. He says the sins of the fathers shall visit the third and fourth generation of them that are disobedient. So when we begin to obey God, we actually stop the work of the devil in our families. You hear me? When you obey God, you stop the work of the devil from your children. But if the children get disobedient, what happens? The same old devil that couldn't take you, take them. You hear me? It means that we have got to be wise. We are going to have to be wiser than we are handling situations now. That we'll have to teach the children obedience. And that we will have to be obedient to God. For our obedience will stop the satanic works and stop the devil from taking charge of our children. I need not go into examples to show you and to tell you how often we have seen this thing work. See, because it has worked in our lives. Whenever we are obeying God and doing exactly what God tells us to do, our children are blessed. Whenever we slip off the line and begin to be involved with things that God don't want us to do, the children get zapped. You hear me? Brethren, I am not going too deep tonight, right? I don't want to stop you from coming when I come back. See? So I won't go too deep tonight. But I'm saying that there is a besetting sin that bothers people and bothers families. And my besetting sin might not be your besetting sin. Therefore, God is telling us that we must take off every weight. I'm talking about Hebrews chapter 12. Somebody read that for me, please. Read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 with a loud voice.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Praise God. You see, there is a besetting sin. There is a besetting sin. It's easier for some of us to do some certain sin than others. And therefore, we must lay aside the weight, the spiritual weight that is on us, so that we might run. Just like a runner will strip off his clothes and only keep on a short pant and run. Without hindrance, God is saying we must lay aside every weight that we might run. And you know what? I'm going to stop preaching because I'm going to ask people to come to this altar for prayer. Praise God. Brother, or whoever, just take over and call, make an altar call.